Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
And welcome to Write Stream Tuesday. This is your host, Daria Ann. I'm an independent author, ghostwriter, editor, blogger, social media marketer, and founder of the Write Stream Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I am very excited about my guest today because she happens to be not only an incredibly talented individual, but also a good friend. And I'm really excited to help her out with her latest project called Operation Mustard Seed. And, of course, I am talking about the multi-talented Ava Aston. But before I bring her on, and I see that she is on the switchboard, just wanted to take a few minutes here for a couple of promotions to let you all know what's been going on here. I'm so excited to make this announcement. I ghost wrote a book for a client, actually, 3 years ago. Sort of a fictionalized memoir, and it's such an uplifting story. It's based on real events in her life, and it's a life-affirming, values-affirming, faith-affirming, love and marriage and commitment-affirming story that I think is going to really touch a lot of hearts, especially with the Christmas holiday season coming up. And it's called Reflections on the Ring, An Ordinary Woman's Extraordinary Tale of How She Saved Her Marriage and Family. And due to the very personal nature of the story, my client, after we wrote the book 3 years ago, kind of got cold feet and said, you know, I just don't think this is the right time for me to go ahead and publish and promote this. And I said, okay. I'm not into forcing anyone to do anything that they're not comfortable with, but I really believed in my heart that she had a compelling story that was going to touch a lot of people. And about 6 months ago this year, she wrote to me and she said, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I've been praying about it, and I had this experience where God finally answered my prayers when my older daughter, her daughter who's now 11, when she was saying her prayers one night and going through all of the things that she was thankful to God about, said, thank you for my life. And my client just broke down in tears because her older daughter, was sort of the result of an unplanned pregnancy when she was not married to her father, and that ended up in a marriage and sort of like an unanticipated marriage, and went through a lot of struggles before finally achieving the wonderful family life that she's enjoying right now. So anyway, that led to Lori and I really honing in on the manuscript, editing it, tightening it up, getting it ready, and we're going to be releasing the book this Friday, November 22nd. So please look for that. Again, it's called Reflections on the Ring, An Ordinary Woman's Extraordinary Tale of How She Saved Her Marriage and Family. I'll be interviewing Lori in the next couple of weeks here, and we've got her scheduled on a bunch of different radio shows, and we're going to be doing a lot of promotion. So look for that. Of course, you can follow us on hashtag WriteStream. You can follow me at Daria Ann. Follow WriteStream on Twitter at WriteStream. And we are, of course, the WriteStream Radio Network on Facebook. The other exciting news is that I'm representing author Balazs Szabo with his book, Tweezer Beezer. And if you haven't seen it or heard about it, it's the second book from the internationally acclaimed artist and author. Of course, his first book was Knock in the Night, which is a haunting autobiographical story of communist oppression in Hungary, oppression that he himself escaped from at the age of 13 in 1956 during the uprising. And I have to tell you, that book, I had nightmares from that book for days after reading it, but I recommend that everyone read it because it's definitely a warning of what can happen when you take your freedom for granted. But Balazs followed that up with a really heartwarming book, and I even hesitate to call it a kid's book, although it is, because I enjoyed it so much as an adult. But it's called Tweezer Beezer, and it's a story, a true story of a mina bird that he and his young boys adopted in Hawaii back in the 80s, a little bird that survived a hurricane that they adopted. And he really became a member of the family, as those of us with pets, and I know Ava has dogs, and I know she understands this. Tweezer really became a part of their family, but what was really amazing to me was discovering how smart these birds are. Just a really incredible story, very heartwarming, a great gift for kids this holiday season. And Tweezer and I are doing a Twitter chat tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern using hashtag WSW, which stands for WriteStream Wednesday, and that's at 1 p.m. Eastern. And that's going to be a weekly chat every week, hashtag WSW, where we're going to feature a different author each week on Twitter. And just wanted to do a shout-out for the network here. You can find us at WriteStreamRadio.com. If you missed Just Believe this week, Just Believe with Lisa Tarvez, it airs every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. This week she had a fascinating discussion with Glenda Lee Hoffman. You want to check that out. It was called The Genesis Code. And then yesterday on Military Monday, my good friend John D. Gresham, who is a military historian, author and journalist. He hosts Military Monday every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Yesterday, he interviewed author Jan K. Herman, fascinating discussion about Vietnam. So if you haven't heard that, definitely go to blogtalkradio.com/WriteStream and listen to the archives. And then tomorrow night on Family Power Hour at 7 p.m. Eastern, licensed clinical psychologist Dr. Billy Eisenberg and family law attorney Sheena Benjamin Wise, who are the hosts of that program, are going to do a very, I call it a very sobering but important topic. They're going to tackle the issue of human trafficking, and they have a guest on the program tomorrow night to discuss that really sort of human rights issue, a very eye-opening issue, and I recommend that people tune in and listen to that at 7 p.m. Eastern. Dr. Billy and Sheena host a show which is, it's not about giving advice, it's a call-in show, it's a talk show where they encourage anyone to call in and share their experiences in the realm of human relationships and family and parenting and basically everything that affects the human experience, especially here in the modern world. And every week they tackle a particular topic and they always have interesting guests. So if you've missed any of their previous programs, go to blogtalkradio.com/WriteStream and you can listen to the archives. And finally, one more thing I want to announce before I bring Ava on the line here is we are launching Lisa Tarvez, who is our director of marketing now for the WriteStream Network and my good friend. She and I came up with a concept for a women's lifestyle show it'll be airing every Friday night, but it's debuting November 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern called Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And it's going to be a fun sort of happy hour type of show after work, kick off the weekend type of show. You know, pour yourself a glass of wine or a cup of tea and join us as we talk about everything from relationships and dating and marriage and kids to finances and careers to fun things like makeup and skincare and fashion. And with the holidays coming up, we've got a lot of great topics that we're gonna discuss, including decorating tips, recipes, how to cope with the stress of seeing certain family members, which a lot of us, we understand what that's like. So tune in, please, for the debut of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss here on the RightStream Radio Network, November 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so without further ado, and I want to thank her for her patience, I want to bring my good friend Ava Aston on the line. As I said, Ava is an independent recording artist, songwriter, actor, just an amazing all-around multi-talented individual. And I'm so glad that we're friends, and if she wants, we can share the story of how we became friends 4 years ago through a mutual Facebook contact. But I want to go ahead and bring her on the line because I've rambled on here enough already. So let me welcome to RightStream Tuesday, Ava Aston.
Hello.
Hey, how are you, Ava?
I'm good. Now I listen to you talk about me. I could just tape that, play it every day for my alarm clock when I get out of bed, and then I'll have a great day.
Well, you know, I gave you a good intro, but I want, for anyone listening that is not familiar with your work and what you do, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of introduce yourself as well, and then we'll get into some of your projects and your music and all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm a singer, and I've been singing since I was little, and I write songs and I act, and, you know, you said everything that I do, and just what else is there to say now?
Well, you know, Ava, since this is RightStream, and I have to, you know, and I do want to ask you this question because as a writer of prose and books and articles, I am really amazed by people who can write songs because poetry, I kind of in my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, I seem to liken writing a song to almost to writing a poem, which I've never been good at, believe it or not. So I just want to ask you, what is that process like for you? Because I know it's unique for every individual. But, you know, tell us how you sort of come up with a concept, let's say, for a song and then actually pen the lyrics. I mean, how does that work for you?
Well, the first thing is that I consider myself a singer first. I mean, I'm a vocalist. I'm more confident in my singing than I am in my writing. I know you're probably not supposed to talk that about yourself when you're an artist, but I started writing just because I had to get it out of me. So I started writing when I was little, and because I don't play any instruments, I do it a little bit differently than some people. I hear the music in my head, so I have to write it down on paper. So as long as I write it on paper or I, you know, record it in my phone or something, then it's there forever. I mean, I've told you this before, I have notebooks from when I was a little kid that I could pull it out and sing it to you. As long as it's written, the melody will stay in my head. And then generally I take it and I sing it to someone and they play the chords I'm singing, whether it's on the piano or on the guitar, because they can hear it the way that I sing it in the melody. For me, I don't know. It just depends. I mean, really, I generally write about what I feel. Most of my songs are things that have happened to me or somebody that I'm close to. I'm not like those people that can sit down and go, oh, yeah, we're going to write a song about a butterfly today. You know, like, that's just not how I do it. I have a lot of respect for people that are, you know, really, really awesome songwriters. And, like, for you, because, you know, I write my weekly blog every week, and it's just – you know, I think you're an amazing writer, and it's, you know, writing, it's its own kind of deal. I mean, it's its own thing. Sometimes I won't write any songs for 6 months, and then sometimes I'll write like five. It really kind of depends on what's going on. If something, you know the story We the People, because Blah was making me itch, and I was just going nuts, and I had to get it out of me, so.
Yeah, and you know, I love that story, because didn't you write that song on a napkin, on a cocktail napkin or something, because you were not in a position to be able to, like, sit and write? Remind me about that?
Well, most, you know, people that are artists pursuing acting or singing or whatever in New York City area work in cater waitering. So we, you know, go to all kinds of parties, do all kinds of things, and, you know, walk around with a tray of shrimps or something to people. I happened to be bartending that particular night, and I was with Keith, my husband, who is also an actor and a writer. And we had just came into the city, because we live outside the city, and we were listening to Hannity, and of course, and everybody that we work with is, you know, pretty much far to the left as you can get. And most of them don't even know why they are that way, but, you know, it's the cool thing to do. And it was right around the weekend of the first 9-12 March, and it was an event in Fashion Week. And I had been at work for about an hour, and the things I was hearing people talking about were just, like, making me crazy. And I heard a chord in my head, and so I grabbed my pen out of my little apron and started writing on a napkin. And it went on through the rest of the night, and probably by the time I got home, you know, I was in the car, I told you this before, and I said, Keith, I wrote a song. And he goes, yeah, so. And I'm like, oh, because I'm always writing songs. He's rolling his eyes, oh, here we go again. And so I sang it to him, and I go, is that stupid? And he's like, no, I had chill bumps. So he helped me, and we stayed until about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I pretty much had it done. And then I called my mom the next day, and I said, Mom, I wrote a song. And she was like, yeah, so. So I sang it to her. And then I go, is that stupid? And she goes, no, you have to record that right now. Because, you know, if he makes me itch, you can imagine he makes her itch about 10 times more than he makes me itch. So we recorded it. And, you know, and of course our good friend Rob, he said, oh, I know just what to do, you know, because I wanted to get footage from anybody that was there. And that's how we came friends, and we put it on YouTube, and, you know, it's got a good amount of views. It's not viral or anything, but, you know, I'm not paying to make it viral either, so.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's something else I want to talk about, too, maybe later on in the show, is sort of the marketing end of things. But I wanted to ask you, too, so you said you weren't a musician, but you hear music in your head, and you're able to write it down. So how does the collaboration process work, like, with people who are musicians in bringing your songs to life?
Well, I've been singing since I could talk. I mean, everybody has their thing that they do, and I just have always been singing. So I have a really unique and keen sense of pitch. I mean, I pretty much am always on pitch all the time, and unless I'm sick or something. And, you know, it's funny because I remember one time I was in California with Keith, and we were collaborating with some people and some producers, and I went, and, you know, I was talking, and, you know, I talk a lot, and I talk fast, and I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, what do you mean you don't play any instruments, but you write songs? And I was like, yeah, and this was the producer that was there. Well, there was this guy there, and I forgot his name for the life of me, because it was like 12 years ago. And he had played before Michael Jackson, guitar for Michael Jackson. He was like a studio, you know, touring musician. And he was like, well, sing me something. And they were like looking at me like I had six heads. And so I sang it, and he was like closing his eyes and sitting back, and then he gets on and he's like, I can hear every chord that you're singing. And it's because there's just a way that I do it where you can, you know, I'm on pitch, and I'm basically guiding I really can't explain it. I just do it. I know that there's other people that do it that way, but generally I don't really have a problem with collaborating with people because they play, you know, that's their instrument. My voice is my instrument. So they can hear the notes that I'm singing, and they play the chords around those notes. Now, again, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying, oh, I'm the greatest songwriter, it has to be my way or the highway. I'm totally open to collaborating. So if at any time somebody says, oh, I don't think you should go that way, I think you should go this way, I do it. But generally for the songs that I've written on my stuff that's out there, what you hear is what I took on the piece of paper to the person and saying to them. It's just we build around those general chords. So that's how we do it. I don't know how it is. It's just what we do.
That's amazing. That really is a gift. I mean, that is a God-given gift. So, Ava, like, how does, like, just for somebody like me, too, because I don't really understand the process of how this all works, and I know I want to talk about that because we want to talk about Operation Mustard Seed, obviously, today as well. Just, you know, I guess sort of the aspect of what goes into, say, like producing even just one song. And I remember, you know, around the time we met, you sent me one of your CDs entitled Gone, which had amazing songs on there. And I even wrote a review of it on my blog. And, you know, I play it in my car all the time. But, you know, I don't think for the average person, I don't think they really have an idea of how much time and effort and energy and money goes into even the creation of just one song. So can you share a little bit about that with the audience?
Well, you know, I can. We've talked about this lots of times. But so you're probably going to be sitting there rolling your eyes going, oh, no, here she goes. Well, you know, I mean, it's there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, today, they think that there's like this little magic wand that you wave and you just go, oh, I'm just going to go on American Idol, or I'm just going to go on The Voice. And then, you know, oh, poof, we're on tour 6 months later. You know, that's not real. That's not, you know, most of the time when people are on there, it's not about the people even. It's about the story. You know, it's about who's got the saddest, most shockingest story to tell. And they have a machine. And even artists that are on labels, I mean, they spend ungodly amounts of money. So, you know, you're not hearing Rihanna and Beyonce 25,000 million times a day because people want to hear it. It's because that's what the label is pushing. You know, there's a whole nasty machine that goes behind it. So for an independent artist, there's a lot of us, you know, we have to record it. You know, we have to manufacture it. You know, you need to put it out, and you can self-release it on iTunes, or, you know, there's all different kind of services that you can use. One of the most popular ones that I use normally is CD Baby. And then that goes, it gets distributed to iTunes and Amazon and stuff like that. And that's what you do when you're not on a record label, like myself, because I'm not 15 years old. So anyway,
well, neither am I, so that makes two of us.
Yeah, you know, we should just jump off a bridge, you know. And so you manufacture it, and then, you know, it depends if you have a backer. I mean, a lot of people can get a backer or a sponsor, and then you can do things like put it in a store or, you know, go on a promotion tour. But, you know, it's a really big nut. And so that's why, you know, when you're an independent artist, you're kind of doing everything yourself. And, you know, it's not complaining. It's just that, you know, a lot less people are going to know about you as compared to somebody that is, you know, has a promotion team, publicist, marketing, all that behind it. And even social media today, we talked about this last time we talked, it's not the same as it was when it was big 4 years ago. I mean, 4 years ago when Facebook started, you could really truly connect with people, and that's what I did. Because I didn't have a record label behind me, I, you know, jumped right into social media and started connecting with people. And I built a fan base. Unfortunately now, especially since Facebook has gone public, it was going on for about a year before. And I don't think it's hit every page yet, and I think it depends on where you sit, because there's millions and millions of them. But, like, say you have a page, if you have, you know, 100,000 likes, unless you're paying to promote each status, that's not going to come up in the newsfeed of those 100,000 people that like your page. They're only showing the statuses to 1% of a page's likes, unless you pay for promotion. And it depends, like, each day has a different value. Like, Mondays and Thursdays are technically the busiest Facebook days, so those are the most expensive. So just to post one status update that I want all, in my case, I have 15,000 likes. If I want them all to see it, it's like $200. It could be $190. It depends on what time of the day you try to do it. And I don't do it. I just put it in there and, you know, hope my 1% see it. Even on profiles, they do the same thing where you have your friends. It's just a little bit less expensive. Like, say you had 5,000 friends and you post a status, you know, I'm playing with my dog right now. It's not, your people aren't going to see it. They're going to show it to 1% of your people. If you want more to see it, for a profile to do advertising, it's like $6.99 per status.
Wow.
So it's very frustrating. So, I mean, even the, you know, a lot of independent artists turn to social media. Unfortunately, now social media has all changed, and, you know, there's Google advertising, and there's, you know, the little stuff down the side, and, you know, you're on the internet looking for, you know, I don't know, boots, and then the next thing you know, you're on Facebook, and then they're advertising those boots. It's like, it's, they're tracking everything, and it's all about advertising. So it's a whole other animal, but you just do what you got to do. So
yeah, well, it truly is, and I've seen a lot of those changes with Facebook, and it's kind of funny for myself. I've gotten much more into Twitter. I mean, we still use Facebook, obviously, and with all the Right Stream stuff, but yeah, things have definitely changed.
I do Twitter, and you know, it's funny. I got an email from Twitter. I've gotten emails from Twitter asking. I sound so intelligent. I have received emails from Twitter offering to do advertising as well. The same thing. I mean, I have Twitter followers, and I say crap randomly all the time. But I don't really understand Twitter. I mean, I do it, but you know, I talk so much. It's really hard to get what I have to say in that little bit of characters. It's like next to impossible to put a coherent thought, you know, down in that short of amount of time. So,
yeah, I'll tell you, not to get into like a whole Twitter discussion. I was on it for a year before I really figured out how that all works. But yeah, it's an interesting medium for sure. I personally, you know, I really love Blog Talk Radio, what we're doing now, because it gives a lot more freedom to be able to talk about things in depth. And I was laughing when you said, you know, that you talk too fast, because I'm definitely guilty of that. I hear people tell me that all the time, so it's pretty funny, but we have that in common. But
that's because you're from the Northeast.
That's right. I haven't lost that. Yeah, and also because I'm the youngest, I think, in my family. I think I learned how to talk fast just so that I could get a word in at the dinner table.
Oh, great. I'm the oldest in my family.
So, well, let's talk about, you know, because it seems like you've been transitioning. And, Ava, I do have one of your songs that I want to play at some point in the broadcast, too, because it's one of my favorites.
You have one of my songs? Shocking.
I know. It's hard to believe. I know. But I want to give you an opportunity to kind of tell the story, because I know you've gone through some sort of changes with your focus, with your music, and that's part of what Operation Mustard Seed is all about. So tell us a little bit about that and the new – I don't want to call it a new genre for you, because I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you've sung these songs before, but your focus has shifted. So tell us why and how it all came about.
Well, I've always been a Christian. I was raised that way. And I really have always just focused on doing, you know, the music that I like. And I've always been big on – I really don't like classifying music into categories, because I think it puts it in a box. And, you know, people like what they like. And if it makes you feel something, you like it. It's just that simple. And I think that when you put it into a category or a box or a genre, it's very limiting, because for me – what I like as a fan and as an artist, it goes all over the gamut, and it doesn't even make any sense. And I realize for, you know, programming purposes it needs to be categorized, but I just think that it's just too much focus is put on that. I've always just done the music that I like to do. And when I write, it generally tends to be like a pop country rock blend. And I go back and forth, and I don't really care. I just do what I like, and I do what makes me feel good in my music, and I say what I have to say. I've always been a Christian, but I've always wanted to just be a positive influence, because we've talked about, you know, pop culture is just completely upside down, and it's been upside down for years before, you know, Miley decided she was going to lose her mind and start twerking. It's, you know, what's good is considered bad, what's bad is considered good. We're living in a society that's praising and promoting mediocrity at all levels.
Yep.
In all walks of life. And, you know, especially with the rise of reality TV, it's like we have a culture where not just little kids, but it's sad because of little kids, people are really starting to feel that if they don't get famous for some reason, that they don't have any value. And I think that's very sad. Everybody on this planet is here for a reason. Everybody has gifts and talents. I mean, yeah, I can sing good. But there's other things that I'm horrible at that you would not ever want me to do. There, you know, everybody has strengths and weaknesses. And I think our society is focusing on, you know, this, you know, overnight get famous, whether you have any talent or not, in the arts, you know, in the performing arts. And I just think that's really silly. So I've always focused on doing my music and trying to be a positive influence to people, but I wanted to not do CCM music, because I felt that the people that listen to that music, you know, CCM is contemporary Christian, for those who don't know, you know, like Natalie Grant, Jeremy Camp, a lot of artists are out there. Mandisa is probably the biggest person in CCM music because of American Idol. Probably one of the only people I like off American Idol. But
yeah, she's
genre,
great.
She's awesome. That genre, I never wanted to do it, because I figured, well, you know, those people already know about Jesus, they don't need to hear that message, because the people that need to hear it are the people that are listening to Beyonce and Katy Perry and thinking that, you know, Lady Gaga is just perfectly okay. But I had a, you know, situation happen, and during that whole recovery period, and really it just happened about 6 months ago, where I really felt that God was calling me to use my gifts and talents to do CCM music. And the short story of it is that my husband and I were rear-ended in two car accidents. The first one was in September of 2011. We were rear-ended by an SUV going 60 miles an hour while we were stopped at a stoplight my Volkswagen Jetta. So smashed us into the car in front of us. We had a lot of different injuries. And then we were rear-ended 6 months later while we were stopped at a stoplight again. We started doing all kinds of things, like, you know, I'm throwing checks in the mail, putting sugar in the refrigerator. Like, I go to put my clothes in the hamper, and I put them in the garbage can. I mean, one day I left our 10-year-old dog outside and went and did errands, and she's not an outside dog. She weighs 10 pounds. I mean, because we had 5 at the time, we just lost one a couple months ago. He died. He was old. You know, because we have so many dogs, 5 dogs, and, like, my husband and I were trying to get out of the house, and we thought they were all in. I mean, it's just, like, it's literally, sometimes I feel like I'm an elderly person with dementia. It's just, it's very hard to, it's, the way that the doctors explain it, it's like, I mean, and it could be a lot worse, believe me, there's people that come back from war that have it a lot worse, but it's like you're, the connections get mixed up, and you just have to learn to change the way that you do things, and for me, my left eye was affected, so if for a while I always goof around, I had a googly eye because I forget what it's called, it's like over convergence or under convergence, and I had to do these exercises with a string, and then I ended up having to get glasses for the computer or when I'm watching TV, because if I'm trying to focus, it starts doing it again, and then I can't see, so during, you know, we have, you know, had this whole recovery period and everything. And, you know, I did this boating contest in the winter time for 3 months. And, you know, I wrote an update about this, but it's on my blog. It was a boating contest, and I don't normally do those because I'm an independent artist. The prize was $100,000, and I figured, well, I'll try because it'd be like being my own backer. So I tried, but, you know, I came in fourth place, but the contest was letting people cheat. They weren't, you know, people were voting multiple times and they weren't adhering to the rules and whatever. So during that contest, I lost my voice. I got really sick. I never get sick. And when I was able to sing again, one of the first, because, you know, I do those a cappella videos every week, one of the first songs requested was Stronger by Mandisa. And normally I sing the song through before I go do the a cappella video, but because I hadn't been able to sing in so long and I couldn't even talk for several weeks, I was just like, let's just do it. So I went downstairs in my little room and, you know, Keith taped me, and I sang the song, and I had never sang it all the way through. And he's like playing Yahtzee on his little phone, and then he comes in, and I'm like, okay, was that okay? And he goes, and he's like about to cry, and I'm like, what's the matter? And he's like, nothing, just do it again. I did it again. And I go, okay, is that good? And he's like, just do it one more time just for safety, because I'm really picky about pitch. It makes me nuts when people sing off pitch. So we usually do 2 or 3, and then we pick the one that's most correct throughout and put that one up. And we got down, we come upstairs, we sit down, and he looks at me in the office, and he goes, now, do you want to hear why it was getting bad? And I said, okay. And he goes, well, it was probably the best I've ever heard you sing in my life. The good part, that's the good part. The bad part is you're not supposed to sing anything except CCM. And then he proceeded to tell me that in the beginning of that contest that I had become so obsessed with winning that, you know, he felt God was telling him that I was not going to win because I was obsessed with the contest and I was putting my faith and trust in man as opposed to trusting God to do what he wanted with my music. And so,
wow.
You know, it's a little bit more in depth than that, but I mean, and I definitely felt an overwhelming, you know, guiding and leading that, you know, he can use people for all different reasons. And, you know, our talents and giftings that he's given us that we all have, they come from him and they're for him and his purpose. And, you know, I was pursuing it for my purpose and my reason. So, you know, I felt from then, that point on, and it was, you know, about May that this happened, that I really need to do CCM music. So that's what I'm focusing on. And I've been writing for a while, and, you know, most of the songs, and the funny thing is that for a really long time, most of the time all I do listen to is CCM music. So it kind of fits, but that's when the change happened. And now I have a bunch of songs ready to record, and because I don't have a label, we've been thinking about doing a funding campaign for a while. And, you know, it's that time. It's a good time to get it done before the end of the year so that you can, you know, put it out for the new year. So that's what we just kind of put it all together, and we decided to use, as we talked about, Donald Trump's funding website because there's so many people that do Kickstarters, and there's, like, if you go in there and you browse music, there's, like, a bazillion people. So, and I did a Kickstarter right after the car accident, the first one, and it didn't it didn't fund. So, I didn't feel comfort in doing that. And, I just felt like there was a lot less people on Fund Anything, and it would have more visibility because Donald Trump's website and, you know, there's like, what's his name, Ratzenberger from Cheers is doing to raise money for his new show, American Made, is on there. Adam Carolla's on there. John Lovitz is on there. There's a bunch of people doing funding raising for different projects that they're doing on there. And I figured, there's a lot less musicians on here. I probably would have more visibility. So that's what we're doing, and that's the story, and that's why I'm doing CCM Music. And, I just think the world is totally upside down. I mean, I know that it's going to happen that way, but it's just very sad to see so many people that just think, like, being as crazy and shocking as you can be is like just, hey, whatever.
Cool. Yeah. No, I totally understand. I have the chills listening to your story. It's so inspiring. One, let me just say, yes, I agree with you. Let me just back up here on the culture. I call it the Jerry Springerization of our culture. And, we're living in this culture of self-absorption where you're absolutely right. I mean, people, their biggest goal in life is to just be famous. And it doesn't even matter if they're famous for something legitimate, like a God-given talent, or because they find a cure for something, some horrific disease. I mean, it's just fame for its own sake, and that's been
a
real detriment.
Are we going
to
have,
culture.
Like, doctors and, like, Nobel? Where are the Ben Carsons of tomorrow going to be? Where are the, if everybody in this generation is seeking to get on The Voice or American Idol or So You Think You Can Dance or what the heck ever next show, So You Think You Can Make the Best Sandwich. I mean, whatever the heck show they're going to come out with. I mean, it's like... There's going to be no rocket scientists and doctors and judges the cure for whatever, because people aren't aspiring to do that. All they're aspiring to do is get on TV.
Yeah. It's bad. And I mean, we've seen the rotten fruits of it in our culture. I mean, you mentioned Miley Cyrus, and unfortunately she's just the tip of the iceberg. And it's this exhibitionism that's just so appalling. I mean, and Jerry Springer, I mean, I trace it back to that. It's probably even before him. But, him, and this is one reason why, and we can talk about this. We have to take a break in a couple of minutes. But, it's one reason why I never cared for Oprah. I mean, her latest rant to the BBC is just the latest in a string of reasons why I don't care for her. But that whole talk show format of people going on the air and sharing their dirty laundry with an international audience, national and international now with social media, I think, once upon a time, people used to deal with their problems privately and with the people directly involved, and now, and it goes back to what you're saying, it's just people just want to be famous, and they don't care if they make a fool of themselves on national television. And the problem is, too, in our culture, Ava, I'm saying they're making fools of themselves, but we've lost any concept of shame. It doesn't even seem like that's what happens.
No.
It seems like there's no
And it's like one thing if people go on, I mean, if you went on, if there was a show and you're, if it was aspirational, if you're, trying to go on to talk about something that, it's, like Ben Carson comes to mind again. I don't mean to just pick on him, but, somebody who's done something who is – that's something to aspire to, something to be proud of, something. And yeah, there was times in there in his story where he's had challenges and hardships and ups and downs. And you can talk about that, but it's like, it's not like we're even talking about anything that is a good thing. We're people are just, hey, the stuff that is out there. It's just like, really? Like,
well, yeah. No, seriously, and it's been upside down for a while, which is actually a nice segue into the break we're going to take, because I'm going to play a couple of promos, and then I'm going to play one of your songs, but I'm going to play some promos for people who have made a difference in the world, and I'm talking about our United States military, and it's just a really sad state of affairs that people who serve in the military or who serve as firemen or policemen who really are putting their lives on the line in the protection of other people are sort of at the bottom of the list of people who are idolized in our culture these days. And I just think that's very sad.
No, they get put on the watch list because they're, veterans.
Yeah.
There's somebody to watch. The veterans are the Christians.
Right.
You got to watch out for us.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a Bible. Oh, look out. But anyway, so let's go ahead with that, though. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm actually going to play one of your songs before we come back on, and I want to talk about that. And I want to give everybody the information about Operation Mustard Seed and how they can help you. So stand by, and we'll be back after these brief messages.
Forgotten Heroes, the independent film that Hollywood refused to distribute.
They were asked to risk their lives in order to save their enemy.
The producers of Forgotten Heroes are donating 25% of all sales to the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial Fund.
We need someone to go in there and bring them out.
From first-time director Jack Marino, the home run for America's Vietnam veterans.
They are Forgotten Heroes.
Buy the DVD now at ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com. That's ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com.
Honor Flight provides, at no cost to the veteran, the opportunity to see the memorial that the American people have built on our National Mall. And I think that there's probably no better organization out there today that can provide something to somebody for nothing.
If anyone wants to see the importance of Honor Flight, look into the veterans' eyes and how they tear up when they are brought here.
When they walk into that memorial and they see that their friends will never be forgotten, that the sacrifice that they paid will always be cherished, always revered, always honored by this nation, they're taken back by that.
The best program I've ever been associated with. You know, we're all in the same fraternity. If it hadn't been for these guys, I don't know where we'd be today or what language we'd speak.
I say about the terrorist, Al-Qaeda, if it weren't for these guys, we wouldn't have to worry about terrorists today. We'd already be occupied. We'd already be a different country. So we owe them
a lot. We're racing against a clock. In another 5 to 7 years, it'll be a moot point. They will be gone. We're working as fast as we can. But we need so much support from so many people to make these dreams a reality. This is probably the last chapter in their lives. And for some, it's literally the last paragraph of their lives. What a way to end their stories.
This has been one of the really great days of my life.
I'm sure glad I was able to live long enough to see it.
We are
Welcome back to Right Stream Tuesday. This is your host, Daria Ann. I am with the multi-talented Ava Aston, and we just played her beautiful ballad, I Carry You With Me. That makes me cry every time I hear it, Ava. So beautiful.
You make me laugh every time I hear you say the multi-talented.
Well, you are. I'm just telling the truth. You know, I mean, you are an actor, and actually I want to ask you about that, too. But, I mean, you've done commercials. You know, you've written songs, you sing and record songs. So to me, that's multi-talented.
I don't dance good.
Well, that's okay.
No, I mean, I'm athletic, but I mean, I'm not like, you know, I'm not going to like whip out my top hat and start, you know, doing a little jig. It's not going to happen.
So you're not going to be on Dancing with the Stars, speaking of reality shows, right?
Well, you know, when I do finally one day, before I'm 85, they asked me to, I might go on there. I might. I'm not going to say I wouldn't, because I like to be challenged, and I love physical challenges. So, you know.
That's one thing I have to say about that show. I mean, I remember when Bristol Palin was on there, and I had so much respect for her because she's hated irrationally by so many people just because of who she is. It's not even because of anything she's even done. And I just thought it took tremendous courage for somebody like her to put herself out there. And as you said, I mean, at least it's challenging. I mean, it's taxing. It's you're learning about yourself. You're pushing yourself to the limit. And, I mean, as a former ballroom dance teacher, and I've done a lot of showcases and competitions, I can tell you, I mean, I'm amazed at how they're able to learn these routines in a week's time. I mean, it's not easy.
Yeah.
So
I have sisters that are dancers, and I watch them, you know, my singing was their dancing, and they, you know, it's a whole other thing all on its own. And I mean, I did take dance a little bit when I was little, but just wasn't my thing. But yeah, it is very, very challenging. And what you said, irrationally hated, I mean, it was great that she went on. I didn't watch it because I don't really watch. I'm not into reality TV. I mean, there's only a couple things that I watch. And I just, you know, I think it's very silly that people hate her irrationally. So I commend her for going on there. And, you know, from what I understand, she did a good job. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's about, I think in their case, and this is just kind of one other quick thing I want to say about it. I think they really proved the point, though, that we have to engage the culture if we ever want to change things in this country. And I think that's true. And then that's exactly what you're doing with your music. But Ava, we have a caller on the line, and I have no way of screening calls. So,
So who is it? We don't know. If you're me,
okay.
I'm hanging up.
Well, listen, I've got the disconnect button right here. So okay, here we go. So caller from 512, you are on the line with Ava Aston.
Do not worry. This is Timothy, Ava.
Your
post. I apologize. I'm a little late getting on the show. Like I told you on my post that I was driving Mom to the doctor's office. But I'm here. I'm actually in San Antonio. I'm sitting in front of a Jimmy John's stealing their Wi-Fi. I've got you on my iPad and on the phone. I just wanted to call and tell you that my network is all behind you. We love you. You're extremely talented and multi-talented, whether you know it or not. and I just wanted
Thank
to tell you.
You
how much of a blessing to me and my network that you and your network are.
Aw, thank you. Well, send them to the campaign, please, because it's low.
I've got you up on my network. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, this is the thing. Like, I mean, I didn't talk about this earlier, but everybody keeps saying, oh, well, you know, I don't have any money. Thank you. Good luck. And it's like, you know, I mean, all I'm praying for is that everybody who's ever been touched by my music to go and do the lowest music reward. If everybody does that, or even just to pledge a dollar and they don't want a music reward, but if they want a music reward, a lot of times when people do these, I've seen them have, like, the lowest reward is, like, $15, $20. I mean, I specifically wanted to give people something of music at all levels, but to always have it so that people could afford to do it. Because, again, without a label, I can't make more music without – people supporting it. So that's all I'm hoping for. I'm just hoping
absolutely, absolutely. Just to let you and your listeners and everybody else know, it's not the money that you do have that you give. It's the money that you don't have that you give that is the blessing. Isn't that right?
It is, right. It's funny when you talk about that. You're like, we're in church, and I'm like, you know, it's like time to do the tithe, and I'm like, oh, do it really? Oh. And I'm like, Keith will look at me and just do it, you know, because you know, it's funny because when, then you, you know, we could go into a whole nother story about doing that, but
yeah. I know, and I need to let you guys get back to your show. I just wanted to let you know that we appreciate you. You are out there, and I'll post you later on your new record label. It's called the Hacienda Records, and it's based out of Austin. It's based out of Austin, Texas. Are you familiar with Austin, Texas?
I went there one time to sing in a contest, actually a video contest. I was there for a short time. I like Texas. It's my kind of state. It's the right color, although I don't know if Austin is. But
yes, yes, and it is the live music capital of the world, and I've got a few connections here, and I'll give you a post. You guys have a great day. Ava, I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you,
Tim. And thank you. And thank you, White Stream Radio Network, for putting somebody like this on so that we can hear it.
I hope
your
mom does well
at
the doctors.
Yes.
Oh, she's doing fine. She's just getting a root canal and a bridge.
That's not fun.
A crown. Well, mom likes the meds, you know, the meds that they give her, so she'll be smiling when she comes back.
That's funny.
Well, Timothy, thank you. And Timothy, before you hang up, put a plug in for your network, please, again, just so everybody knows where they can find you.
You can find me on Facebook at Timothy Keeler. I'm the one that looks like a funeral director. I'm based in Round Rock. I'm based in Round Rock, but my website is UnitedLifeMinistries.com.
Excellent. UnitedLifeMinistries.com. I will definitely check that out.
Yes, I'm medically retired as of a couple of years ago, and I just gave my life over to God and said, okay, every time I wake up, you tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And that's what the United Life Ministries was born out of.
Awesome.
Maybe someday I'll tell you about my life and death story. I've died 5 times. I've survived 6 heart attacks. All my brothers are dead. My father's dead. I am the last survivor. I am the last son of the last son. And I have given my entire life over to every single day just doing what my Bible and my God tells me to do.
Wow.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
And God bless everybody, all of you guys, too. I'll let you go
thank
now.
You.
Have a great day, and God bless you all.
Thanks,
you
Timothy.
Too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Aw. He's awesome.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He needs to write a book.
He does need to write a book. We need to talk. We'll have to talk to him about that. I met him through because I have one of my fans and friends is also in the Madison Rising Militia, and he was posting my stuff, and I did a parody for Politichicks with Madison Rising, and Timothy had never saw it before, and I believe if I'm remembering correctly, a couple weeks ago, he discovered me that way. So then we've been looking at my posts and stuff and checking out my music. And my song, I Carry You With Me, touched him very much because of his situation and his losses that he's had in his life. And, you know,
yeah.
I wrote it about somebody who passed away that was a mother figure to me. So, you know,
and then
I'm glad that I can touch people.
Oh, absolutely. And, Ava, let me just say one thing, too, because you mentioned that video. That is a testament to your acting skills. That video that you did with Madison Rising, because you were really getting on my nerves, and that was intentional because of the role you were playing.
You know how many people emailed me, and they were like, you did a really good job. You were really getting on my nerves in that video. And I'm like, well, good. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah, that was
just remember, that's the kind of people that I deal with all the time. I just want to shake them.
I know. And you know what else I want to talk about, too? This is amazing. And, you know, actually, though, but let me back up here. Operation Mustard Seed, just let's – I know it's
yeah,
online and everything, but
let's –
talk
about Operation Mustard Seed.
Well, tell everybody where they can donate and where they can find it and all that good stuff.
Well, again, please don't yell at me for begging, because I've had some really wonderfully supportive emails, but then I've had other people that are like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're begging for money. And I'm like, okay, last time I checked, I was on a record label, and last time I checked, making music wasn't free. So, you know, if you're going to pay Madonna and Beyonce and all these other people, you can pay me too. No, like, what it is I'm doing a fundraising campaign. It's just like a Kickstarter, but instead of Kickstarter, for the reasons we already talked about, I'm using Fund Anything, which is a website. It's fundanything.com, and it was the brainchild of Donald Trump and a couple other people, from what I understand, and there are a lot of big, heavy hitters on this website using it to fundraise for their own projects, like John Ratzenberger. He's doing a show called American Made. He's from Cheers. You might remember him. There is John Lovitz is doing a fundraiser on here. I mean, a lot of people are using it. You know, Adam Carolla did it to raise money for his movie. So it's very popular. There are not a lot of musicians, and that's one of the reasons that I chose to do it for my campaign. So what I'm doing is I'm doing a fundraising campaign. I'm not looking to raise a ton of money. I'm looking to do a 10-song CD and then have money to manufacture it and do a little bit of, you know, promotion, like different photos and stuff like that. If we go over our goal, I'll be able to do a video. I mean, I'll do a video anyway, but I'll be able to do more videos if I go over the goal. We're trying to get $12,000. Generally, when you record a song where I live, the cheapest that you can get is like between $800 to $1,000 per song. So it just depends on, you know, what if you use, you know, say you're on this one, you might want, you know, a violinist or whatever. It just depends. And I try not to do things that are really, you know, technologically, like, you know, I'd rather have a real drummer as opposed to a computer doing the drumming, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm
trying to raise money to do my record. That's what I'm trying to do. So, Fund Anything, you can go on there. And again, a lot of people have done fundraising campaigns. Madison Rising did a fundraising campaign. I mean, a lot of people have done them. And it's a good way for fans to be a part of the new music and to really be a part of making something happen. And with me, like I said earlier to Timothy, you know, I'm not looking for people to go. I mean, it's very shocking because the people that I thought would have donated haven't even answered an email. And then people that I didn't expect just go on there and give $250. Like, you know, it's just crazy. All I'm hoping for is that everybody that I've touched with my music and message at some point to go on and at least do the smallest pledge, which is the seed pledge, $5. And there's always music that comes with every pledge that I have. But then there's also people that can just go on. You can even just do $1. I mean, if you just want to say, oh, I just want to be a part of this, and you just don't have any money or you don't have a lot in your budget, you can put $1. You can put $2. You can put $3, whatever. You know, it's just being
great.
A part of making project happen. So, and again, I mean, I have rewards all the way up to like live shows. I mean, I've got all kinds of different things to try to be creative with them. And those, like, you know, if there's business owners that are like a Christian owned business and you want to, you know, have advertising on my website for a year, and I do get a lot of traffic to my website. And I have, you know, stats and analytics to show that I do have a lot of people going there. That, you know, you can buy that, you know, you can a full concert, there's a mini concert, there's a house party, you know, you can have coffee with me in Astoria, you can run a 5K with me, there's all kinds of fun stuff too.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Very creative.
There's different, there's also, you know, smaller things. You can just get a pre-release of the record beforehand. You can get it via download or you can order it. You know, I also have, because it's the mustard seed, the whole thing, we're calling it the mustard, you know, Operation Mustard Seed, because it's just a little bit of faith. You know, I'm just putting it out there, and I'm believing that I'm taking a step of faith that I'm going to do CCM music, and I'm going to, you know, dedicate my music to doing things that are a positive message and spread this message of faith, hope, and love to be an alternative to all that muck that we talked about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trusting that God's going to bring people to help get it funded, because without people funding it, there will not be a record. So, That's what I'm doing. That's what Operation Mustard Seed is all about. So I would appreciate people going there and pledging and getting some rewards and being a part of making it happen.
My gosh, really, if 12,000 people each gave $1, there's your goal right there. You know, in a country of millions of people, it doesn't seem like, you know, it should be that
hard, but I know what it is. I have
15,000
likes
on
my Facebook. I have 15,000 likes, and I have, you know, my email website list, my sign-up list is like over 600. I have 5,000 friends, but it's like, again, remember, because of Facebook, and I call them Muckerberg now, instead of Zuckerberg, they're not seeing it. You know, only 1% of the people are seeing it. And, you know, unfortunately, there's, you know, other people are doing campaigns right now, and I don't have any national figures that are promoting my campaign and ordering people to go donate to my campaign. So it's like, you know, it's just word of mouth. It's just my friends, my family, and, you know, my peeps on the Facebook and social media. So I appreciate everybody that we've got. Where are we at right now? Let me go look. Let's see here. I'm rambling. Blah, blah. Remember, people, I have a traumatic brain injury, so it's not that I'm stupid. Okay, 26 people. We're up to $1,575. So we are at about a little over 12% of the goal. And the best way to do it is just to, like, share. You can go to the it's fundanything.com. I'm right on the homepage. But you can also go to my website. We put it right on the homepage of my website. You can just go to avaaston.com. That's AVAASTON.com. And you can watch my video that tells about my story and why I'm deciding to do CCM. And then you can click a button and it'll take you right to donate. And I've had some people get confused because they say, oh, I don't want to start a PayPal account. All the contributions are collected through PayPal because that's what Fund Anything uses. Kickstarter uses Amazon. It's just a different animal. You don't have to make a PayPal account. You can just pay with your credit card. If you don't have a PayPal account, you can just, it's just that PayPal is secure. And don't worry, I've had some people also say, well, I went to click and it said it came up in some guy named Keith's name because we're using my husband Keith's PayPal account. So, again, Keith, he's like the glue that holds it all together. You know this, that he does my website, he does my branding, he does pretty much everything you see about me out there, Keith has done it.
Yeah.
He makes the videos, he does all of it, all my Politichicks videos, he's done everything. He's even taken some of my pictures. So he's like my manager for now, although he doesn't want to be.
I'll tell you what, he's doing such a great job. I don't know if you could find a better manager.
No, I say to him sometimes, I'm like, man, I don't know how you do it. If I was you, I'd throw me right in the garbage can.
Yeah, you guys make
it. Because
I'm
so not technically, like, whenever I don't understand anything technological, I'm like, key, and then, like, you know, like, we'll be doing a video, and then I'll watch, and we're editing it, and then, like, I'm talking, and I'm like, oh, my God, I would just throw me right in the garbage can. I don't even know how you put up with me.
Well, like I said, you two make an awesome team, and I just want to encourage everybody to go to fundanything.com or Ava's website, avaaston.com, and just, I mean, donate what you can, even if it's a dollar. I mean, my goodness, I think most of us can afford that. And, you know, I've discovered Ava, too, and just in five and a half years that I've been involved in social media and promoting independent authors, that there's so much, if you'll pardon the pun, unsung talent out there. And I think it goes back to part of it being a problem with our culture, where it's really not being truly talented. It's more about being an exhibitionist and being shocking and, you know, doing the Miley Cyrus thing. But, of course, God, that started years ago with Madonna, unfortunately. But, you know, so it's really, sadly enough, it's not really about talent. So, I mean, that's why I feel so strongly about promoting people who are going the independent route, whether they're writing books or songs or singing or, you know, singing like you are. I just think it's so important for those of us, you know, who care about the values that you're promoting to get behind you. And I think one of the things, too, and I want to ask you to speak about this, I mean, you're one of the people that's sort of a living not a contradiction. You oppose the stereotype. Let me put it this way: you're living opposition to the stereotype that so many people on the left have of conservatives as these stick in the mud fuddy duddies who don't have a sense of humor, who don't like makeup or fashion, you know. And no, there's a difference between being classy and being elegant and being sexy, even without degrading yourself. And I think that line has been completely blurred, unfortunately.
They erased it. What do you mean blurred?
Yeah.
We're getting rid of that line here. We don't need that line. What do we need that line for? Just be naked. What the heck? No. Well, it's funny because, you know, again, I have to put this disclaimer out there. You know, I work out a lot and I do fitness. And, you know, when I first met you, I did a transformation. All my whole life, I've remind me, I want to talk about a thought about I believe that it's taking so long for a reason, but with me, I'm about overcoming obstacles. I'm kind of like But you know, Rocky's like one of my favorite movies ever. It's like very inspirational to me. I don't quit. I mean, I don't quit. I'm just not a quitter. And all my life, I've kind of struggled with weight. I was chubby as a little kid, and I mean, I wasn't fat as an adult, but I mean, I was definitely not like I am now. When I first met you, I did a transformation for Hydroxycut. Now, I'm not an advocate of diet pills, but I worked my butt off. I lost about 35, 36 pounds, and so I did a commercial. And so there are photos of me out there. I'm going to give the disclaimer, in a bathing suit. Now, am I in a G-string? No. Is it like a ridiculously skimpy bathing suit? No, it's a bikini. They're fitness pictures. Am I posing for Playboy? No. But it's funny because like one time somebody emailed me and they're like, oh, you know, you're a Christian. I can't believe you're out there. And I'm like, it's a bathing suit and they're fitness right. pictures for crying out loud. Like, yeah. you know, but so, you know, overcoming obstacles is kind of like what I'm all about. And I feel like there's a reason that it's taking so long, you know, because a lot of people give up on things. You know, they try something and it doesn't work out, and then they're like, you know, well, maybe God doesn't want me to do this. Or maybe, you know, there's a reason for everything, and there's a story. You have a story, and there's a reason and a purpose. And, you know, I think part of my story is part of that, is overcoming and helping people to be inspired not to give up on their dreams and their goals. Because, you know, it doesn't, you know, the song that I wrote, I Don't Even Care, which is one of the newest two songs that I had done, that was kind of my flipping of the bird to the music industry, because I'm not 12 years old, and I've been being told I was too old for a long time. It's like, last time I checked, people don't listen to music and go, oh, gosh, I wonder how old that person is. I don't think I'm going to like that song because of that. It's like, it's stupid. It's irrelevant.
That's true. That's such a great point. Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, everybody has challenges, whatever they're trying to do in life. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do. Everybody has challenges. And I think maybe part of why my story is the way that it is because God wants to use me to help people to be inspired and to trust him that he's got it all, you know, under control. That no matter what it looks like, that he's got us in the palm of his hands. So.
Well, thank you for saying that, because you and I have so much in common, including the weight thing, but I can relate to you also, you know, because I have a lot of, you know, well-meaning people in my life. And I've got a lot of supportive people, too, kind of, you know, kind of like what you're saying, that say, oh, just give it up and, you know, go back to the corporate world, you know, give up on what you're trying to do. It's too hard. It's this, it's that. And you know, it's tough. And prayer and meditation and working out and just all the things that you just mentioned are how I – try to overcome that, and I try to look at it as, okay, you know, they're really well-meaning people, just have to let them be who they are, but I'm not going to buy into what they're telling me to do. I'm going to keep forging ahead, and it is hard sometimes. I mean, it's definitely challenging.
You just have to stuff your ears full of cotton balls and run around singing, la, 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 I can't hear you, I'm not listening, because, you know, sometimes the people that say those things, they are just saying that because they gave up on something that they were trying. And they might not be doing it on purpose, but,
yeah,
you know, sometimes that's just, sometimes they don't even know what they're doing, you know. I mean, I think you can pretty much tell when you know, like you know, like you know, like you know, that you're supposed to do something. You know, it's not, it's not like you have a job in the corporate world to go back to. I mean, I've never done anything else but sing. I've never had any other – I don't know how to do anything else. I don't do anything else – I don't know how to do anything else but to sing and write songs. And that's just what is in me. I've never had a plan B, and I'm not ever going to get a plan B. You know? I mean, it's just the way that I'm wired. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, they're afraid to do what is their passion because they're afraid to fail, or people tell them, no, you can't do that. You know, or – like with me, or you're too old, or you're too young, or you're too this, or, you know, you're not, you know, it's just silly. I think that this, like I said, the world is upside down, and we need to have people that can be a different influence to change that, you know. And then as far as being an oxymoron, it's funny because, you know, unless you started talking to me about politics, you probably wouldn't know that I was like a right-wing extremist to the 15th power. But, you know, it's just... the liberals have us all pegged wrong. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we did the parody, like, with Venison Rising, because, you know, what do you mean Republican people can't make good music? Like, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Now everybody, you know, is like, what's his name from Pearl Jam? Like, he wants everybody's guns to be taken away and confiscated, and it's like, dude, good luck
yeah.
selling that record. Let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah, I know. It's you know, and it's all been a deliberate, God, I could talk about this for hours, but yeah, and that mindset comes from the deliberate efforts of the left over the past 100 years to infiltrate all of our institutions, and to the point now where if you and I, you believe in the Constitution, as you and I do, somehow the Constitution has become extreme when in reality...
Well, it's offensive to them, don't you know?
Yeah, but, you know, but the reality is this is a testament to the power of propaganda, the left-wing propaganda. I mean, our founding fathers were the quote-unquote cool guys. I mean, they were the ones who, in a world filled with oligarchies and dictatorships and just centralized governmental control, they said, you know what? We reject this. We're going to create a nation where the system of government is going to elevate the individual and his or her right to life, liberty, and happiness. I mean, that's what's really radical, if I might use that term. And yet the propaganda machine has been so great at completely polluting the achievements of our founding fathers and turning them into these white racists, when in reality they're the ones that created the freest country the world has ever known. So it's all upside down, but I'm so happy that there are people like you out there engaging the culture through your music and kind of turning that upside down, that stereotype.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, I do get drawn into a lot of political things, and I've done a lot of political rallies. Again, it's funny because I'm not a political – really, We the People is the only political song that I have, and I only wrote it because, like I said, I had to get it out of me because, like, from the minute I saw him, I couldn't – it was like I was looking into the eyes, and there was, like, no soul. There was just – he offended my spirit. There was just something about him that was off. I didn't believe anything that he said, and it's got nothing to do with the color of his skin. I mean, there's people that I love. I love Alan West. I mean, I love Ben Carson. To me, skin color is irrelevant. My dad is from Greece. My dad is technically not white. You know, it's not – skin color is stupid. We're all people. We're all human beings. I don't see people in colors. I see people as people. But he's very offensive. But for me, I wasn't raised that way. I mean, my dad came here from Greece with $20 in his pocket. You know, one time when he was painting bridges, he had no money for, like, till payday, and he put the old-fashioned, for the Coke bottles, he put the nickel, I forget what it was, a nickel or a dime or whatever, for a Coke in the machine, and it was the old-fashioned bottles, and he put it in there, and it didn't come out. And so he was like, oh, and it's like, you know, North Carolina, he's like a million degrees, he's hot, he's dying to kick the machine. And a bunch of them came out, so there was like a rack next to it, and he filled it up. And he had all those Cokes, and he had them in his truck, and that's what he had to eat and to live on until he got paid again. It's like, in this country is the only place that you can come from nothing and make yourself something. It's a level playing field. But now, it's not level anymore. You know, they want everything to be fair, and they want, you know, kumbaya and happiness for everyone. And they're just totally shredding the Constitution day by day by day. And... you know, I got to tell you, when you said it's plotted and planned, we're a member of a special group that I'm not allowed to talk about. And we had a guest speaker, and the author was Trevor Loudon. And for anybody who wants
love him.
To read, and I met him, and he's this guy, when he starts talking, he literally came and talked, and he did not stop talking for like an hour and a half, and literally makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck as to how far back and how widespread and how diabolical this plot really is to our country and our freedom. And, like, if you just start talking about the information in his book, you would think that we're crazy, but we're not. And he does research, and, I mean, it's all, you know, has references, and it's all factual, and you can look it all up. I highly recommend anybody to read his book. I have it. It's, oh, my word. Remember, I have a traumatic brain injury. And
that's okay. Well, let me help you out here a little bit. He also runs the New Zeal blog, which
is
fantastic.
Barack Obama and the enemies within. And I just stepped on my dog. What a bad person I am.
Oh, poor baby.
I heard you heard her scream. Oh, Pookie, I'm so sorry.
Mommy, sorry. Yeah. That was an accident.
Yeah, so his book is really awesome, and it really tells, it's a long read, and it tells, you know, it just documents everything and the connections and how far widespread it is, and it's very scary. And, you know, if they get our way, their way, it's not going to be that America where my dad can come with $20 and change his life. And
yeah,
it's very scary, but we have to have people that are not afraid. I mean, and there's a lot of people that share our values that are way high up in entertainment, and they won't talk about it because they're afraid to lose work, you know. Well, I'm out of the closet, so, you know,
yeah.
I feel like I have to be true to who I am, you know. But as far as political music, I don't write political music. I just write what I feel. And, you know, I feel, for me, it's better to talk about being a positive influence as far as, like, the upside-downness of our morality, because our morality
yeah.
is, like, you know,
yeah,
upside down.
It's true. And, you know, well, speaking of that, too, one of my favorite movies, and you mentioned Trevor Loud, and he appeared in one of my very favorite documentaries called Agenda, Grinding America Down, where he speaks of a lot of the things that you just mentioned. And it was produced by Curtis Bowers, who at the time was a state rep in Idaho. I don't know if he still is, but if anyone hasn't seen that movie, I highly recommend it, because if you doubt that morality is intertwined with economic prosperity and military strength, for that matter, then this movie will really kind of help you see that it really is. And you cannot have a strong, prospering society without a strong moral code. And that doesn't mean everybody walks around and everybody's perfect. Far from it. But it means you hold yourself to that standard, at least. And when you fall down, you admit it. And there's accountability and there's personal responsibility. And by going after the family and weakening that family structure, the American communists, which is, it's all documented in this movie, I mean, they understood that. And I get frustrated with the fact that American communists at least understood that, when we have people today, even in the movement that we uphold, that don't get that. You know, for them, it's all about the economy. And I say, no, you cannot have a strong, prospering economy without a strong moral foundation. And that also includes things like a work ethic and an adherence to personal responsibility. It's not about necessarily believing in God, although most people do. But, you know, I'm saying, you know, right away they associate that with having to be Christian. And I'm Christian myself. I mean, I'm not putting it down. But I'm saying that it has to do with a belief in God, or at least in a higher power, and holding yourself to that standard and believing, you know, you mentioned this earlier, Ava, that we're all here for a purpose. And that purpose comes from a higher power. It's not government. It's from God, or whatever you want to call it, but it's from a higher power.
Well, unfortunately, you know, not everybody gets that. But I think eventually everybody, at some point in everybody's life, they do get it. But, you know, sometimes they don't always get it, and it takes a while to get into their noggins. You know, everybody has to learn their own hard way. But, you know, what can you do? I can just be me. All I can do is what I can do and do the best that I can do, and use the gifts and talents that I have to try to make a difference and to change hearts and minds. So that's what I'm trying to do with my music, and that's why I'm doing Operation Mustard Seed, Unfund Anything, to try to be able to fund my new record of faith-based music. And I so appreciate you helping me to get the word out. I hope people will start going there. I've been emailing like crazy, and, you know, not bad. 12% funded for a week isn't bad, but there's only 3 weeks left, so
so that was my next question when this ended. So, okay, folks, we got 3 weeks to help put Ava at over the top, and her goal is $12,000, which to me is, you know, that's a very reasonable goal. I think, like I said, if we could get 12,000 people just donating a dollar, you're there. So please.
Well, my friend's Madison Rising raised $50,000, so, you know, I think 12 is just a little bit less, you know. You know, I don't know. I'm hoping. I mean, I have enough people. It's just if they can see it, you know, again, because Facebook isn't what it used to be, and only 1% of the people are seeing everything. So,
yeah.
Zuckerberg, what can we say?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, we'll just have to find a way around that. So, Ava, do you have any, before we leave today, anything else, any parting thoughts you want to leave with us before we sign off today?
No, I would just appreciate people to go and check it out, you know, to go and, you know, go to fundanything.com. My campaign is called Operation Mustard Seed. You should be able to put Ava Aspin in the search bar. I'm also on the front page under new projects. It's also on my website, avaaston.com. It's right on the front page. That's A-V-A-A-S-T-O-N. There's a video there that tells about, you know, the life-changing event that caused me to decide to do CCM music now. And again, I'm just asking for people to go. And I'm not, you know, a lot of times when people do these campaigns, they have a lot higher minimum reward for music. I wanted to keep it low because I know that El Blah has ruined the economy and not everybody is doing very well these days. But, you know, it's great to buy the music that you like, but again, independent artists like me, there's no way that we can compete with Beyonce and Katy Perry and all these other people and Kelly Clarkson that have a whole machine of minions doing stuff for them. You know, we have to make and produce it and promote it ourselves. So being that I don't have a record label, I'm just, you know, I want to be able to get this music out there to try to impact hearts and minds, and I really can't do that without people supporting it. So I'm just asking for people to do, you know, if all my people just do the lowest music pledge, I mean, it will fund very easily. But I have pledge levels for all budgets, and, you know, I'm asking people to go there and watch it and check out my story and video and read about me and Google about me, and if you feel that I'm an artist that you want to help support and get behind, I would be very humbled to have your support because I want to get the music and message out to the masses. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, very well said, and you know, you have my support, Ava, and anything we can do here using the Right Stream Network. I'll keep promoting this interview out on Twitter as well because I am on there. And we'll do whatever we can
just
help
keep,
you.
Sharing the link every day, you know, share the link, because once you go to find anything right underneath my video, there's a link that says share, and it lets you share on Twitter, it lets you share on Facebook, on email, you know,
That's
all
great.
Different ways. So I'm very
awesome.
Thankful for you having me on and talking about it and talking about all the other stuff that we talked about. We always talk about all kinds of things that we talk.
My pleasure, as always. Ava, you're such an inspiration, and I mean that sincerely. And you know, I just wish you all the best, and you have my support. And I hope to bring you back in 3 weeks and have you say, "Hey, I not only reached 12,000, but I went way over my goal." So
way over my goal. That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
It really would be. So, well, thank you again for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And everyone, support Ava Aspin. And Ava, what's your Facebook? You know, tell everybody your Facebook page too. I know, even though Muckerberg has screwed it up, if anyone listening wants to find you on there.
Well, my Twitter and my YouTube. It's just twitter.com/AvaAspin, and YouTube is the same. YouTube.com/AvaAspin. I have all kinds of stuff there. I've got my cartoon. I've got my parodies. I've got videos. I do acapella videos every week for people. We didn't talk about that. By request, where I stand in my house and I just sing a song. My Facebook is facebook.com/officialAvaAspinMusicPage. It's also linked on my website. If you just go to avaaston.com, that's AvaAston.com. If you can't spell it by now, then you need more coffee. Everything is linked on my website. So my website
Excellent.
You can go there and get it.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, Ava, and wish you all the best. And like I said, I hope to bring you back here in 3 weeks and talk about how you've exceeded your goal. And I'll encourage
From
all my listeners
to help
you.
From your lips to God's ears.
Amen. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day.
Have a good
You're
day.
Welcome.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, everyone, that was the beautiful, and I'm going to say it again, multi-talented Ava Aspin. Please visit her website, avaaspin.com, and do what you can to support her in her Operation Mustard Seed fundraiser. She's got great music, and again, avaaspin.com, you can check out all of her music. I only played one song today, but she's got a whole slew of beautiful music, and is very deserving. Excuse me. One of those truly talented people that I, for one, would love to see succeed. All right, so this wraps up today's Right Stream Tuesday. I want to thank you all for listening. Again, I want to remind everyone, tomorrow night, Family Power is up next on the network at 7 p.m. Eastern, and they're going to tackle a very serious and important topic human trafficking, and they're going to have an expert in that field on the line with them. So please tune in at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you've missed any of our shows, go to blogtalkradio.com/rightstream, and you can listen to the archives. Our hosts again are Lisa Tarvez, who hosts Just Believe every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then there's Military Monday with John D. Gresham every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Of course, Right Stream Tuesday with yours truly at 1 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. Family Power Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern time, Wednesday evenings. And starting on November 29th, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss with Lisa Tarvez, Kristen Fetterman, and me. So very excited about that. Can't wait. And hope to see you at our next broadcast. Hope to see you at all of our shows, actually. And I know I'm rambling, so I think I'm going to just take myself off the air here. But I want to thank you again for listening. Check out our website, rightstreamradio.com, and my website, dariadigiovanni.com, for more information about the books I mentioned at the top of the hour, Reflections on the Ring, An Ordinary Woman's Extraordinary Tale of How She Saved Her Marriage and Family, to be released this coming Friday, November 22nd. And also Tweezer Beezer by Balaj Sabo, which I'm helping him to promote. Makes a great gift for kids this Christmas season, so please visit my blog to check it out. And I will see you all back here again for another episode of Right Stream Tuesday next week at 1 p.m. Take care, everybody. Keep rejoicing in the flow of creativity.